We shall turn to the Word of God in the book of Psalms and consider a portion found in Psalm 63. We can read from the beginning of Psalm 63, a psalm of David when he was in the wilderness of Judah. O God, thou art my God. Early will I seek thee. My soul thirsteth for thee. My flesh longeth for thee in a dry and thirsty land where no water is, to see thy power and thy glory, so as I have seen thee in the sanctuary. Because thy loving kindness is better than life, my lips shall praise thee. Thus will I bless thee while I live. I will lift up my hands in thy name. Especially verses 3 and 4 that we would seek the Lord's help to consider this evening. Verse 3, because thy loving kindness is better than life, my lips shall praise thee. Thy loving kindness is better than life. As we considered not too long ago, David's soul thirsted for God. His flesh, his whole person, longed for God as in a dry and thirsty land. He wanted to see God's glory and his power. Such a view that he had of God previously in the sanctuary. And it was a view of God that he desired again. It was a soul-refreshing view of God's glory and power. And he knew that this view of God would satisfy his soul as with marrow and fatness. David would feed on the finest of the wheat, the spiritual delicacies that are offered in the Word of God. It would be better than any dish ever served to him in his palace. He would feast on the very best, the very choicest blessings. He wanted a view of God's glorious power and grace, a view of God doing great things for his beloved people, and such a view of God's mercy that would content him. It would rejoice his heart and satisfy his soul. David would be thoroughly satisfied. And why is this? Why would David be so satisfied? Why did he desire God to manifest his favor to him? Why did he desire God's presence with all his being? Well, the answer is in our text, because God's love is better than life. You could not find a clearer text in this simple concept, this view that David had of God's love. Thy loving kindness is better than life. Not his love is equal to life. Not he wants some of his life or part of his life to enjoy the love of God. He says the love of God is better than life. And the experience of God's love would cause him to rejoice continually. Because thy loving kindness is better than life, my lips shall praise thee. Thus will I bless thee while I live. I will lift up my hands in thy name. If God's love is better than life, then he will use his life, his whole life, for blessing and praising God. Well, we want to look at this part of God's Word with the Lord's help, considering first, more broadly, the experience of God's loving kindness. What is the loving kindness David is speaking of? Secondly, the value of God's loving kindness. What David thought and what all God's people think of God's loving kindness. The value of it. The value they put on it. It's more valuable than life itself. You can't put a price on the loving kindness of God, the value of God's loving kindness. And secondly, the praise of God's loving kindness. Thus, in this way, because of this and the experience of it, will I bless thee while I live. I will lift up my hands in thy name. So first of all, the experience of God's loving kindness. This is what God's people want to experience. They want to experience God's loving kindness in the means of grace. They want to experience the love of God revealing himself in Christ in the sacrament of the Lord's Supper. This is what believers anticipate during this communion season. They desire, and I trust they will even expect, a view of the love of God manifest in the redemption purchased by Christ, the experience of God's loving kindness. The word loving kindness, interestingly, is translated several different ways throughout the Word of God in the Scriptures. It includes words like goodness and mercy. For example, the word is translated mercy in Psalm 23 and verse 6. Surely goodness and mercy, or goodness and loving kindness, shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Goodness and mercy, or goodness and loving kindness. The word is translated goodness in Exodus chapter 34, verse 6, where God passed before Moses and proclaimed the Lord God, merciful and gracious, long-suffering and abundant in goodness and truth, loving kindness and truth. So the word is translated goodness there. So the word loving kindness refers both to an attitude as well as to actions. And it often takes verbs of action like do or keep to show loving kindness in palpable ways and in concrete ways, ways that you can actually see taking place, like Rebecca lowering the pitcher of water and doing an act of kindness or loving kindness for Abraham's servant. But it refers to both the affection of love and the acts of love. Well, God has revealed his loving kindness, and his love was, from eternity to his people, was expressed in time when he drew his people to himself. God set his love upon his people in their election, and he chose them in Christ before the foundation of the world. And then his love came to expression in the greatest gift of all, and that is the gift of his Son to suffer and die on the cross for his people. And then his love came to expression in this very clear form, this way of showing his love, and that is drawing his people in time, where in that we read in Jeremiah chapter 31, verse 3, Jeremiah says, "The Lord hath appeared of old unto me, saying, Yea, I have loved thee with an everlasting love." That's from eternity. "I have loved thee with an everlasting love. Therefore, with loving kindness have I drawn thee." So God's love and kindness, or we can probably ought to say his love, came from eternity, came to expression in time in his kindness to his people by drawing them to himself, delivering their souls from death and their eyes from tears. So in this way, God's love and goodness was expressed to them. God's people have the experience of God's love in drawing them to Christ, saving them from everlasting punishment, delivering their souls from the lowest hell. What love and what goodness that is, to be saved from perishing in one's sins. Does that describe you and me? And we read about God's loving kindness in Ephesians chapter 2, the chapter that we read, and from verse 4. And perhaps the word kindness captures so much of what God has done for his people in redemption. We read Ephesians chapter 2, verse 4. "But God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ. By grace are ye saved, and hath raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus." And here is the reason why God has done this. He has quickened his people, sent his Spirit to deliver their souls from a lost condition. The reason is for his own glory, that in the ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness toward us through Christ Jesus. So you see God's kindness, his mercy, his love, his grace, and perhaps all of it is summed up in this wonderful word, loving kindness. God loves his people. He shows his love to them in the act of kindness and quickening them by his Spirit and converting their souls. Have we experienced this loving kindness? Have we enjoyed in our own souls the expression of his love? Love that was set upon his people from eternity and revealed to them in time as Christ spoke to the woman of Samaria, "I that speak unto thee am he." Have we been convinced of our sin? We hear about conviction all the time, don't we? But you should ask yourself and you should answer the question. Yes, my friend, 12-year-olds, 11-year-olds, 7-year-olds, others who are much older, have we really been convinced? Or do we just know that we're sinners? Our consciences trouble us sometimes. We get angry and we feel convicted about that. Has the Holy Spirit convinced us that we're sinners by nature and by practice? We have a corrupt nature. We have ugly, black hearts. And we deserve to perish in our sins, and God is just in condemning us. Against thee, the only, have I sinned, says the psalmist, and done this evil in thy sight. It is evil. Are we convinced of the evil of our sins? God can reveal even to 5-year-olds the evil of sin, and they're grieving over their sin, and they hate their sin, and they're crying to God for mercy. Yes, have you sincerely cried to God for mercy because you felt yourself guilty and deserved to die? But have you also been enlightened? Has the Holy Spirit shown you Christ, his preciousness? Has your will been renewed so that you are persuaded of the preciousness and suitability of Christ? You're persuaded of his sufficiency to save one. And so you're like the woman who said, "If I may but touch the hem of his garment, I shall be whole." You're persuaded of that. And the only question is, have I made contact with Christ? Have I truly believed in him? I know that if I do believe in him and if I do come to him, he'll receive me. Oh, that's very good if you feel that in your soul. You are convinced that he is a Savior suited to you. If only you made contact with him. Oh, friend, go to him, flee to him, run to him, cry to him, trust in him. He is ready to save. He will save. The Holy Spirit shows you Christ as well as your sin, and he draws you. And if you're drawn to the Lord Jesus Christ, and he's precious to you, and sin is bitter to you, and you really, really want to turn from sin, from your heart, to God, it can only be because of this. God has shown you loving kindness. He loved you from everlasting, and therefore, he drew you with loving kindness. And if that is the case, if you've experienced the loving kindness of God in this way, then you will value his love more than anything else on earth. You will feel that God's loving kindness is better than life. Because thy loving kindness is better than life, my lips shall praise thee. The word, and this is what we consider secondly, the value of God's loving kindness. Now the word better is actually the word good. And Literally, the words are, "Thy loving kindness is good from life." Now, that's simply the way the Hebrews expressed a comparison. They didn't really say better. They said good from, meaning better than. And I'm pointing this out to show that the idea really is there is goodness in the loving kindness of God. There is such goodness in the loving kindness of God that it is beyond all other good things, including life itself. The goodness of the love of God is so good to me, it's better to me than life itself. To experience his loving kindness is good for me. And in fact, it is better for me than all the pleasure that the world can give. Now, what do you think of the loving kindness of God? Is there a goodness in it that draws you? Like Asaph, he said, "Surely it is good for me," or "it is good for me." I'll just turn to the portion, what he actually says. Psalm 73, verse 28, "But it is good for me to draw near to God." Now, do you say that in your soul? Do you ever feel that? It's such a good thing to draw near to God. Like Peter, who was on the Mount of Transfiguration when Jesus was transfigured before the three disciples. And Peter was caught up in the moment, but he knew this was something very special. And he said, "Master, it is good for us to be here." Of course, he didn't know what he was speaking about when he said, "Let's make three tents, one for thee, one for Moses, and one for Elijah." But the fact of the matter is, he said, "It is good for us to be here." Do you ever feel that in your soul? It is good to be at the prayer meeting. It is good to attend the means of grace. It is good to read the Bible. It is good to pray. It is good for me, not just for the minister and the elders and the deacon and the communicant members. It's good for me to draw near to God. Does that describe your experience? Now, that should be simple enough for all of us to think about our own experience. Now, let's go a little further. Here's the real test for every believer, for every person. Every person who has any conviction about the truth, any awareness of the reality of Christianity, can we say thy loving kindness is better than life? Do we desire the favor of God above all things? Do we feel that his love is better to us than any earthly enjoyments? Think about all the things that you like. Yes, your favorite hobbies. Can you say God's love is better to me than all of it? Now, I know that some of the Lord's people say, "Well, I hope so. I tremble at the thought of being able to say the answer is yes." I am aware of that. But here's the fact. For every true child of God, it is the case. To them, God's love is better than life. They're very weak. They tremble. They wonder if they were put to the test, would they choose Christ over their loved ones' wishes or whatever it may be, their job, their hobbies. But this is the fact. And in their heart of hearts, they answer, "Yes, amen. Thy loving kindness is better than life." What matters most to a child of God is spiritual life, not temporal life. Let me try to explain this by comparing our text with another verse in the Bible, which most of the Lord's people are familiar with, in Psalm 30 and verse 5. So let me quote our text again. "Because thy loving kindness is better than life, my lips shall praise thee." Psalm 30, verse 5 says, "For his anger endureth but a moment, in his favor is life. Weeping may endure for a night, but joy cometh in the morning. Now there's two lives here, and they're different. It may confuse some people because sometimes the Lord's people in prayer or speaking, they quote both at the same time, and they will say, put it together, say, in thy favor is life, and thy loving kindness is better than life. Well, the one is spiritual life, the other is natural life. But it is a very profitable exercise to think of them both together. Psalm 30, verse 5, in his favor is life. And that is spiritual life. That is the life of the soul. That is, in fact, the most important life. The life of the soul in the presence of God. Here is my spiritual well-being. In fact, it's my real well-being. God's favor is the life of my soul, says the child of God. My real life is not flesh and blood. My real life is the enjoyment of God's love, his favor. Now, the text that we're looking at tonight is speaking of natural life, because thy loving kindness is better than life, better than natural life. The love of God is better than earthly life. In fact, in his favor is life, life, spiritual life to the full, and that's better than any kind of earthly, natural, temporal life. Thy loving kindness and the enjoyment of it, thy favor, which is life to me, is better than all earthly life. And we should ask ourselves, is it so with us? Because in thy favor is the life of my soul. Therefore, thy loving kindness is better than all earthly life. Do we value spiritual life more than temporal life? Or do we put a higher value on earthly life? So that the things that we love in this life, maybe it's our children, maybe it's recreation, places to go. And if we lost those things, if those things were snatched out of our hands, then we would be like Micah and we would say, you have taken away my gods, and what have I more? The child of God would say, you have taken those things that I love, but I do have something more. And you can't take this away. And what is that? The loving kindness of God. You can't take that away from me. You've taken everything else away. You've put me in prison, but you can't take God away from me. You can't take his love away from me. It's a real, very important question. Everyone here, children, please listen. If someone were to go to your house, or even go to your room, open the door and look inside your room and say, oh, well, these be thy gods, O Israel. The things on your wall, the things you look forward to doing at the end of the day. Well, clearly, this is your idol. And it's not the case that God's love is to you more than life itself. No, if you took away these things, you wouldn't have a life. You would say, you've taken this from me. Life is not worth living. May the Holy Spirit convince you of that. May the Lord Jesus, by his Spirit, show you your sin, that you would really, really, really seek the Lord Jesus with all your heart and come to him for salvation. And pray that you would experience what a true child of God experiences. What is that? To be satisfied from within. That's what true contentment is, a sufficiency. Because God has shown his people loving kindness. Therefore, they're satisfied. They're satisfied with God's love. When they're in their right mind, when they're rightly exercised, they feel in their souls, when I know God loves me, that is all that matters. That's the question sometimes. Does God really love me? Am I his or am I not? That we know that's a big question for them sometimes. But when they're assured, God loves them. And they have a sense of that. Oh, how they say, thy loving kindness is better than life. We don't have time to go into what Jeremiah Burroughs, how he puts it, that the believer is the most contented person in the world, and yet at the same time the most dissatisfied person in the world, which is a contradiction in itself. But he means that he is content with what he has from God, but he is dissatisfied with the world without God. If you give the child of God the whole world, it couldn't make him satisfied. He needs something else. Oh, give the whole world to the unbeliever. Well, they'll be delighted, at least for a while. Not the child of God. If you don't give me Christ, I don't have any life. And they feel sometimes in their souls just what Jesus said, except ye eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, ye have no life in you. They feel that they need Christ. They need the blood of Christ. They need Jesus who died on the cross, who gave his life a ransom for many, and that is their life. And they're looking to Jesus. They need him. And they're saying, like Rachel said to Jacob, give me children or I die. Give me Christ or I die. If you take Christ from me, what have I more? If I don't have Jesus Christ for my soul, I am truly sad. I feel like I'm almost dead. And life, they feel, can't go on like this. Life is intolerable without Christ. The Reverend William McLean would say to doubting believers, words to the effect, well, do you love the Lord? Does he love you? You don't know, you're not sure. Well, leave him. Just leave him if you can. Oh no, the child of God says, I can't leave him. No, they can't. Because his loving kindness is better than life itself. Life is meaningless without Christ. Thy loving kindness is better than life. And when David says thy loving kindness is better than life, he doesn't mean his life in that particular condition in which he's speaking. He's not saying, yes, my soul is thirsting and I'm in a wilderness condition. Absalom is pursuing me. Oh, this, to be with God, that's so much better than all of this. No, David's not saying that. Of course, being out of that situation, it would be better than the life that he was experiencing. But what he's really saying is this: God's love is better than life in any of its conditions, in any of life's experiences. God's love is still better to me than all of it. Give me a life in a palace, God's love is better. Give me a life in a holiday resort in beautiful weather and scenery, God's love is better than anything that this world can offer. I cannot be happy even though you give me mansions of gold and rivers of earthly pleasures. David says, I'd rather be a doorkeeper in the house of my God than to enjoy or to dwell in the tents of wickedness. With all their worldly and sinful pleasures, I'd rather just be a doorkeeper in the house of God than to have anything to do with those sinful pleasures. I'd rather live in a prison with Christ than in a palace without him. I'd rather live in the lowest conditions under the favor of God than to be in luxurious homes under the frown of God. What good will all these outward things do me while I'm going on under God's displeasure? When he withdraws from me, it is misery. In his favor is the life of my soul. Thy loving kindness is better than all earthly life. And because the loving kindness of God is better than life, David says, my lips shall praise thee. Thus will I bless thee while I live. I will lift up my hands in thy name. So David is saying that when he enjoys God's loving kindness, and because God's loving kindness is better than life, and when he enjoys it in his soul, he will certainly praise God. He will praise God for the enjoyment of God's favor, because God's love to him is wonderful. The more he experiences God's love, the more he is filled as with marrow and fatness, he says, "My mouth shall praise thee." So take the words briefly. My lips shall praise thee. What do you use your lips for? Children, are you listening? What do you use your tongues for? What do you use your lips for? What do you use your mouth for? Many of you will use it for vain things, to say foolish things. God has given us lips to praise him, to praise the Lord. That's what David said. I will praise thee. I will commend thee. I cannot add to God's greatness and glory, but by grace I can declare his glory with my lips. My mouth shall show forth thy praise. My lips shall praise thee. I will praise the Lord for his glorious grace, for drawing me, for showing kindness to me. I will praise thee for sending thy Son to die for me. I will praise thee for quickening me by thy Spirit. I will praise thee for not leaving me, even when I was tempted to say, all men liars are. They're all lying. Yes, God's people can be so low, down into the depths, and they begin to doubt everything. But that's their weakness, that's their infirmity, that's their unbelief. But David is praising God for his love and kindness. And he says, when I enjoy it, my lips shall praise thee. Thus, or in this way, will I bless thee while I live. He is saying, what shall I render to the Lord for all his benefits toward me? This is what he will do. He will take the cup to his lips. I will take the cup of salvation and call upon the name of the Lord. I will pay my vows unto the Lord now in the presence of all his people. Thus will I bless thee while I live. And he said, while I live, he says. Yes, he will show God's praise and the means of grace. But while I live, he says, since God's love is better than life, he will praise the Lord throughout his life. God's love is better than life, so he will use his life to show forth God's praise, to be an example to others. What is his life for unless it is to give glory to God and sing his praises? This is the supreme way to live. The highest life is a life of praise. Thus will I praise thee. Thus will I bless thee while I live. I will lift up my hands in thy name. Lifting up the hands was an act of worship in prayer, but also in praise and in adoration to God. It's an act of worship, which tells us that our very posture should be an expression of our love and devotion to God. This is what our life is all about, to have a heart full of gratitude, and our practice and our behavior, our actions would demonstrate that we're truly thankful that the Lord Jesus bought us with his blood and that we owe all to him. We are bought with a price. And that is what is displayed at the Lord's Supper. The Lord's people coming to the table, and they are showing the Lord's death. They are proclaiming his death, and they are showing to the world whose side they stand on when they sit down at the Lord's table. They're on the side of Christ, and he is their head. And so may we seek a view of God's loving kindness in the Lord Jesus Christ as we prepare for the Lord's Supper, so that we might get a view of the Lord Jesus himself, and let our reason be that we might live our lives and praise the Lord while we live. As the psalmist says in Psalm 146, verse 2, while I live, will I praise the Lord. I will sing praises unto my God while I have any being. Let everyone behold the man, Christ Jesus. Look to him. This man receiveth sinners and eateth with them. And why not yourself? May the Lord bless his word. Let us pray. We shall conclude singing to God's praise from Psalm 63. Psalm 63, from verse 1, Mr. DeBoer, would you sing? Lord, thee, my God, I'll early seek. My soul doth thirst for thee. My flesh longs in a dry, parched land, wherein no waters be, that I thy power may behold, and brightness of thy face, as I have seen thee heretofore within thy holy place. Since better is thy love than life, my lips thee praise shall give. I in thy name will lift my hands and bless thee while I live. These three stanzas to God's praise, Psalm 63 from verse 1. Lord, thee, my God, I'll early seek.
Lord,
tomorrow are at 11 a.m. and 7:30 p.m., the Lord willing. Let us conclude. The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, and the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Ghost be with you all. Amen.